One huge aspect of Jesus Christ's character and the personality of God that he demonstrated for us is, and I think that this is greatly overlooked, it is underappreciated by the corpus of Christian works, I think, by saying, you know, in the what I mean by that is that ministers and church leaders and the writings about Jesus Christ, I think, miss this point a lot. So one of these things, the thing that I want to say is that Jesus, as an example to us, always referred back to Holy Scripture in his preaching, and in the desert, he said, "It is written this, it is written this, it is written this," he said to the devil, the enemy, Satan, while he was being tempted. He relied upon God's word, but he did it by quoting, by citing that. He was a student of Holy Scripture, even when he was younger. The first, one of the earliest things that they write about him in the gospel books is that he was in the temple as a child, and he was instructing the people there while he was a child. And they were amazed at his understanding of Holy Scripture while he was a child. He was a student of the Word of God. He, as the Word of God, that was his thing. That is his thing. And that is greatly overlooked. Again, I will give some examples. When he was tempted in the desert by Satan, the enemy, he defended himself basically by saying, "It is written, it is written, it is written." When he was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" Now, these, again, the people who were coming to him were not stupid people. They were not asking him stupid questions. They were coming to him because they knew that he had the Spirit of God upon him, that he had a greater understanding of the significance of the Holy Scriptures than all the rabbis and the Pharisees and Sadducees, those who were teaching and leading in the temple and so forth. In other words, you could say that he was basically doing a better job at preaching than all of the preachers in his day, so to speak, or all of the religious leaders, all of the ministers and pastors and priests of his day. He knew better, and people were coming to him instead of them, like Nicodemus, who came to him, and Jesus said, "You're a leader in this place," or whatever it was, Jerusalem, whatever he said. But he said, "You're a leader of the people here, and you don't understand what I'm telling you about the Spirit of God." So Jesus was always focused on the Holy Scripture. Again, he said, "It is written this, it is written this, it is written this." And he said, when people asked him, well, like, what is the greatest commandment? He said, "Well, how do you read it?" And then he would say, you know, whether or not they were on the right track. And he said to this particular guy who answered, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of heaven." So the idea is that Jesus, as an example to us, had his head, had his focus, had his vision in reading. There's a saying, leaders are readers. If we as Christians are to follow God and to learn from what God is, to know God and to learn the wisdom that God has given us. If we are to actually have that relationship that Jesus Christ demonstrated for us with God, if we are to actually have a relationship, a legitimate relationship with God, and not be in the realm of fantasy or relying upon our own imaginations or thoughts or ideas, again, this is all ideological. Everything, every war is ideological. This is an ideological matter. Whose ideas do we follow? What is the right idea? What is the best idea? It all is about life. What is the right way to live? Is which is greater, life or death? That's the crux of the matter. And it's all ideological, because that's the purpose of communicating, is to communicate ideas. We communicate ideas through words. That's the purpose of communication, is what I'm doing right now. Jesus had the Word of God, and he understood it fully because he was the one who God set apart for himself and sent into the world. Now, it's very important that the people who want to know God have God's words in an accurate way, in the original, in accurate language that is accurate to the original. Most necessary, if possible, is to have what is the original, if possible, of that language. And it's very important to see that everyone who is writing for the purpose of communicating an idea. And when they write about Jesus Christ, they're doing it to communicate ideas about Jesus Christ from their own insights from God. And that, if it is true, then it is of the Spirit of truth. And that is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth that Jesus said would lead us who study into the fullness of truth. And what do I mean by study? I mean, we have the words of God. We are led by the truth. That is the Spirit of truth. That is of God. That is God's. Now, learning, this knowledge, this study, and the pursuit of knowledge of who God is, that will lead us to knowing God. And that is the relationship. And that is eternal life. That is what Jesus Christ said. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, or Jesus the Christ, who you sent, he said in his prayer to God. Now, a couple things I want to say again. I've said it in the past recently. In my understanding, there is one God that is the God, the Almighty God, Supreme. Now, in Holy Scripture, you have the plural form of that word, God, as gods. That means that they're referring to others who are in some ways like the Supreme God. But the comprehension of the substance of what is being talked about there is that these are either people who are taught by God and therefore have the knowledge of God, or have been given the knowledge of God, or they are divine beings like angels, you know, spirits, individuals who are who were not born as men into the world, as humans. Now, the idea is that Jesus Christ only ever tells the truth. So, and that can be determined by, for oneself, by thinking about what he said. And I've done this, which is why I'm saying, which is why I'm talking about this. So, when Jesus Christ came into the world as born to the Virgin Mary, he did so to fulfill all of the scriptures of the past and to rectify the situation of humanity on earth. And he did that in several ways. But one of the things that he showed us by what he was saying is that he said, "Nun ha arkantu cosmic tutu ecclesiae tai exo." And I, after I may be lifted up from the earth, will draw all, if I may be lifted high from the earth, will draw all to myself. So he said, now is a judgment, or now is the judgment, or separating of this world. Now the commander of this world will be thrown out. He was referring to the devil, Satan, the enemy. And I, if I may be lifted high from the earth, will draw all to myself. So, by his crucifixion and resurrection, Satan, the enemy, the commander of the world, at that point, again, this is all about war. This is ideological war. The commander of the world at that point, by Jesus Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, that commander, the devil, was thrown out. That is what Jesus revealed by his statement there. That is one of the things that is ignored and completely overlooked by the vast majority of preachers and Christians. They miss that point. It's like, have you never read this? I think to myself. Again, even in Jesus' day, there were people there who were preaching and telling people the way things are and so forth because they were talking about Holy Scripture. And yet Jesus still said to them, have you never read? Or what then is the meaning of the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? You know, and all these other examples of these things. Jesus had his face in the Word of God, in Holy Scripture. That was where he had his focus. He was elucidating, he was explaining all of the Holy Scriptures. And later, after he was, you know, when he met his disciples on the road and they didn't recognize him, he asked them what they were talking about amongst themselves, right? And so, and then he wound up again explaining, even when they didn't recognize him, he, a stranger then to them at that point, was it completely explaining everything. And then they later recounted that their hearts were burning within them, right? So that is the whole idea, is that love. They were finally understanding. And then later, he opened up their minds so that they all could understand all of the Holy Scriptures. So in other words, all of those things, he is as the teacher, again, he always had his face in the Holy Scripture. He was reading and reading. That is our example. We cannot be Christians unless we first read God's word. And that is the basis of my testimony for myself. If you say that, I've been asked many times, what is your testimony? Okay, well, I was raised in a Christian family. I was taught how to pray when I was a little child. So I would pray. And my dad and my mom and my sibling would pray with me. We would pray together, right? It was a family scenario. And we would go to church. I went to all different types of churches, Christian churches, that is, and Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, you know, Lutheran, whatever. And my parents raised me in the Christian values. So I have that background and that value system. And when I was 9 years old, my mother gave me a Bible. And I had asked her at some point around that time, I think it was before then, why I didn't get to have my own Bible. Because, you know, I had the children's Bible and all this stuff, but I didn't have what I was identifying as the actual Bible. So she gave me a New International Version from, you know, copyright 1984, published by Zondervan in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Unfortunately, that is not, I learned when I was 35 that that is far inferior to a standard that I would want. And then I had memorized that Bible for 25 years, memorized. And that was a goal of mine. I wanted to memorize it. And I'm not saying that I remembered every single word of every single book. In fact, I may not have even read every single word of every single book in there. But I was studying it for myself independently. It is like I was following in the footsteps of Jesus in that way. When he was a child, he had the Holy Scriptures and was studying them, obviously. But he had not been taught. It was a personal motivation, something that he did himself. Of course, because, you know, as the one from God, he obviously had a greater understanding than could be taught to him by anyone else on earth. And that's the point. And even if he were only or merely a prophet, the fact that he has that greater understanding than anyone else on earth could possibly give him about God is reason enough to at least have him as teacher and example. Because, and then look at everything else about his life. He was sinless. He was self-sacrificial. He did everything he did as he preached. He was not hypocritical in any way. And then you add on top of all that, all of the miracles that he did. And again, you can choose to disbelieve, but there's no value in that. What's the point? You're just demoting your potential to understand. So if you think about what is written, and if you look at it in the bigger context of the Old Testament, the accurate Old Testament, or I'm going to say what, if you study, reveals itself to be very accurate versus what is the mainstream political norm, status quo of the Old Testament, then all of that context of having an accurate Old Testament and prophets and New Testament. That is a most brilliant thing. And at that point, it's like that is the meat and potatoes of the matter, because you can say, I read the NIV, like I said, for 25 years. Studied it myself. I've written over 400,000 words about things that I learned from God. And again, all of my own initiative. I am basically a scholar in this regard. Now, if you have, like I did, something that is inaccurate in many ways, and then you say, well, this is not accurate, that's okay. That's the right conclusion. But if you have something that is accurate and you fail to recognize its brilliance, that's your problem. You are demoting your own capacity for understanding, and you're hurting yourself. Furthermore, if you take a lie that is in front of you and say, a lie about God, for example, and you say, oh, well, this is not true, therefore God isn't real, or some leap of conclusion into a wrong conclusion. See, then that's a bad thing. You have made a logical error, and to your own detriment. When I realized after 25 years of memorizing the NIV, and then I would compare it to the Greek, oh my gosh, this is inaccurate. This is not accurate to what it should have been translated as. I didn't say, oh no, this NIV is inaccurate. That means God doesn't exist. No, I didn't say that, obviously, because I had this relationship with God. I had all of the other experience that I knew about God. And believe me, I did consider this. I'm always considering, what is this in the context of reality? And that's what you always have to do. And that is what Jesus spoke to. That is why people were following him, the multitudes were following him, because rather than just, relying on their local rabbis, because basically Jesus Christ was taking the word of God and applying it to current situation that was around him. That is why he would always say, like to the devil, he said the devil was, tempting him with like bread and power and whatever. He was showing him things in front of his face and saying, here and now do this. But Jesus was like, it is written, blah. And therefore the implication is, no, I will not follow you, Satan. Because it is written this, and he took the word of God, therefore, and he applied it to his current situation. And he did that for the people also, and that is why they followed him in the multitudes. He healed them as the word of God. He took the word of God himself, and he applied it to their situation, to their condition, and he actually miraculously healed them as the word of God by the power of the Spirit of truth. Again, it's a spirit of truth. That's why all of this around us today is ideological warfare. And it's literally truth versus lies, life versus death. That's the ideological conflict that we face all throughout history, human history. And that doesn't end until the eon ends. Because that is this eon. That's the main question in this eon. Which is greater, life or death, truth or lies? And what am I willing to give up in order to pursue life and truth for myself and make sure that that continues? That's the whole human question. And that is all in the Holy Scriptures, in the Old Testament and New Testament. That everything in there, it's all within that context, which is greater, life or death, truth or lies. And what am I willing to give up for myself? To be selfless in the servitude of the ideology of life and truth. So that a greater world, a greater existence can be for everyone else and for everyone who is willing to value that. And that is the main question that we have today. In this state of ideological war, ideological subversion, psychological warfare, all of this is meant to destroy all life on earth. And Christianity is the only thing that is going to resist that.